single breath rant. The baseball team, the Cleveland Indians, just got rid of their name and mascot to become the Cleveland Guardians. Their name was seen as an affront to Native American culture. Well, how about White Cloud toilet paper? There was a Chief White Cloud in the 18th century in Iowa. How come no one complains about his name being used on toilet paper? What, he lives on in posterity on our posteriors? There you have it, my newest innovation, the single breath rant. I was online and I stumbled upon an article entitled Vaccine Passports, Are Business Rights More Important Than Personal Freedom? The author, Brandon Smith, writes, "The formation of totalitarianism is often insidious in that it is almost always sold to the public as humanitarian, a solution for the greater good of the greater number. But beyond that, tyrants will also exploit the ideals of the target population and use these principles against them. Like weaknesses in the armor of a free society, our ideals of freedom are not necessarily universally applicable at all times and in all circumstances. We have to place some limits in order to prevent oligarchy from using liberalism as a tool to gain a foothold." In reading this article, it occurred to me that because of the lack of ethics education in America, people don't know certain baseline concepts or certain fundamental precepts. According to David Hume, law first arose with the concept of property. It evolved as a method to protect and/or apportion finite possessions. Hume says that in a world of infinite property and endless goods, law and by extension justice would be irrelevant. Hegel added, "By the judgment of possession, at first in the outward appropriation, the thing acquires the predicate of mine. But this predicate, on its own account merely practical, has here the signification that I import my personal will into the thing." Hegel is expressing the idea that by importing one's own personal will into inanimate matter, one externalizes one's own identity, one's own ego, into the object. John Locke makes the same point too, writing, "The labor of his body and the work of his hands, we may say, are properly his. Whatsoever then he removes out of the state that nature hath provided and left it in, he hath mixed his labor with and joined to it something that is his own and thereby makes it his property." So the very first property is one's own body. Only insofar as a man imbues inanimate matter with his own labor and will can that matter be said to deserve legal protections. In other words, it's an extension of the man. So a piece of land in and of itself has no legal or moral weight. That's why hunter-gatherer tribes who didn't cultivate the land in North America had no concept of property. They didn't work it. They didn't mix their labor with it in order to turn it into theirs. They chased bison. They didn't farm. Only by cultivating the land, by mixing your labor with the soil, could you truly make it yours. So property only acquires legal protections once it becomes an extension of the individual. In other words, the man's rights come first, and the property acquires rights only as an extension of the man. Today, people seem to have this backwards. They think that property has value and that human beings don't. They think land imparts value to the man. On the contrary, it's the man who imparts value to the property. Human rights originate with the human being, not with the property. So many people, uneducated in ethics, ignorant of the origin of human rights or the legal philosophy of the West, have caveman consciousness. They're the type of people who forget that the church is not the building. It's the people inside the building who are the church. This cognitive folly is also at the root of our political class, who forget that the nation is the people. It is not the government. It is not the buildings, ports, and highways. They think that they can wholesale replace the populace, keep the infrastructure, and it will remain the same country. No. The basis of our nation is our people. Likewise, the primordial right is the right of the individual and his sovereignty over his own body. No retail outlet outranks that. Walmart doesn't get to order you to change your DNA. Target doesn't get to genetically modify your children because they're standing on their property. Human rights come first. Property rights come second. Because without humans, there is no such thing as property rights. They're subordinate. In the Middle Ages, we had two types of land, private property and the commons. The commons was land that no one owned. Everyone could use it. These were places that the entire community could take their goats to graze. The commons were communal, kind of like communism. The entire community owned it in common. The political left loves us not to be productive, not to mix our labor with the land, because if we remain unproductive, all we have is the commons, a sort of communist system. Back in 1776, when our country was founded, when 91% of the populace were farmers, everyone had private property just by dint of cultivating the land. Today, where less than 1% of Americans are involved in agriculture, and where we're urbanized, we're reduced to the commons. This is very amenable to the left, because it extracts us from an ownership model into a communist system, whereas the World Economic Forum says, you will own nothing and be happy. People who own nothing are slaves. People who can be tagged, tracked, and branded are slaves. They're cattle, not free men. This amazing assertion, not only that you don't own your own land, but that you no longer own your own body, is an assertion of breathtaking authoritarianism, and it's not part of the social contract of America. This idea is a foreign import, as foreign as Marxism itself. Participants who used the New American Magazine reported that they experienced 12% more muscle mass, 22% more smiles from attractive strangers, and a 72% reduction in cognitive decline. Check us out at thenewamerican.com.